Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
Virtual work parties and happy hours, I mean, look, if I get an invite to another virtual social event, it's just like... Video chat, burnout, Zoom fatigue, whatever you want to call it, it is real. And the last thing I want to do at the end of a work day is to go to another meeting disguised as a social outing. Real talk? Come on. How many of you have been to a virtual event, gotten in, really did not have fun, and just faked a bad Wi-Fi connection? Sorry, I have to miss it. Hi, it was good seeing you. 2020 wasn't like any other year. It was really, really hard. But a lot of companies around the world are most likely gearing up for some sort of office party right now. The people organizing these virtual events, I give them all my respect. It is a tough hill to climb, and I know everyone is trying their absolute best. But seriously, is there any secret sauce or best practice to how to throw a virtual party that doesn't stink?
Well, okay, you need to like close your eyes, take a deep breath, and believe that this can actually work. And it's going to be fun. In fact, it might be the best party you've ever thrown in your whole life.
That's Brian Raffinelli. He's the founder and chief creative officer of Raffinelli Events. He puts on all kinds of events, and his clients are often big names. He's not new to virtual events, but he had to shift all of his events in 2020 to virtual.
I immediately was like, oh my God, you know, because we had probably 25 events in the spring and like what were we going to do? For my nonprofit clients especially, it was like they still have to raise money. So they were like, okay, what are we going to do? And we're like, oh, we're going to go virtual, you know, and it was like in the dinosaur era, right, of Zoom and like, you know, signals coming in and out and like all that kind of crazy stuff. Today, it is like light years ahead. The stuff that we can do virtually is magnificent.
I'm so excited to be talking to Brian about this because actually I have to organize one of these parties for my colleagues at HBR. In your opinion, why do so many just the average garden variety Zoom party stink? Why is it so unpleasant most of the time?
I think it's the unknown and people don't like looking at each other, right? That's a big deal. Like, I love it. I can see their face. I can see if they're interested. I can see if they're bored. I can see if they're reading their email, but maybe those are all the reasons people don't like. There's an anticipation of like, this is not going to be good, right? So that's what's so great about it in so many ways. It's like, wow, it's kind of easy to make it good because everybody expects it to be bad.
All right, let's get down to it. What are the elements of a successful, fun, eye-roll-free virtual office party?
Look, this is what you have to understand. This is just like, rather, every party. Like, how do you get people to come to your party? You know, you ask them, they respect you. Okay, I get that. You have to believe that this will work, and then you have to encourage a smaller group of the big group that this is really going to be awesome. Why? Because everyone's going to start talking about it.
So exploit the cool kids.
Yeah, check. Exploit the cool kids. Get them on your side. Tell them it's going to be awesome. And even right now, because you don't know what you're going to do yet, you've got to fake it, right? This is going to be awesome.
For sure. It's going to be awesome. Can't miss it. Are you going to be around on Thursday, December 10th?
Yeah, I have very little going on in my life right now after work. So, yes.
Not going to be a lot of time, right? So that's one of the little pro tips. Like, this is not going to be a lot of time.
How long should it be?
Under 30 minutes.
Under 30 minutes. Okay. Okay.
By the way, if you say no longer than 30 and you do 20, you're a hero. Right?
Amazing. So sometimes Brian recommends sending something like party favors or a cocktail kit to guests beforehand so everyone can have a shared experience. But that can be costly.
Do I have a budget?
No, your budget is zero.
If there is no budget, right, then have people actually participate with what they have. right? So that could be signs, that can be funny holiday hats, that could be almost anything that you instruct them to do it, right? Doesn't cost you anything. Have some fun and games, or surprise and delight your friends, or do both.
I'm so excited. Like, after talking to you, I was a little nervous. But the first step, as you said, believe. That's pretty powerful, I have to say.
I think I've convinced you, actually. So this was a good session.
Okay, now I have my virtual party roadmap. So it's time to get started. Step one. Ooh. I have to believe this thing is going to get pulled off. Repeat after me. It's not a meeting. It's a party. I believe. I want to believe. I am believing. They're lucky I'm putting on this thing because it's going to be amazing. I believe. Okay, so I'm going to send a save the date and hopefully add a touch of mystery and clarity. And above all, I just want people to show up. I think I'm getting their cheers. You're invited to the best HBR web team holiday party. We're going to see what happens.
Okay.
Just wanted to know, are you guys coming?
Yeah, absolutely.
Didn't even know about it.
I'm feeling the pressure.
What time is it?
3:30 to 4. The next part I have to do is figure out what the surprise is that I promised. The bar, again, is low. I can blow everyone's mind. Bottom line, this party cannot stink.
But you have a fun background. I need a fun background.
You have time. You have time.
How do I do a fun background?
Look, we're not going to watch the entire party. And plus, were you even invited? So the main plot line of this holiday party was a mystery gift exchange. So instead of buying actual physical gifts for each other, everyone was gifted with a little bit of weirdness from the internet, and it sparked a lot of joy.
It's like the most random weather website, but the picture in the middle makes me laugh so much.
Thank you.
Okay, so the party just ended and I'm just like reveling in what happened. Okay, how did it go? You know, did it stink? I don't think so. It wasn't like the best party of all time, but it was certainly a party of the time. And it was really great to see everyone. And I think having that energy and holiday magic, just, you know, believe in it, that's really the key thing here. And even though I had a budget of $0 and we're unable to be together, we're just here virtually, at the end of the day, we're all in this together. And you really can't put a price tag on that.
Millions of Americans whose unemployment benefits expired this weekend were watching and waiting to see if President Trump would sign the relief bill. One of them is 60-year-old Michael West, and he joins us now from his home in Huntington Beach, California. Michael West, welcome to the NewsHour, and thanks for making the time. We should fill folks in and tell them you were working as an Uber driver before the pandemic hit. Then the pandemic hit, business dropped, your doctor told you it's probably not a good idea to go out and work because of your underlying health condition. So give us a sense of how hard it has been to make ends meet since then and how you've done it.
Well, it has been extremely difficult. I didn't really know what I was going to do. And then the CARES Act passed, and that was a godsend to get that, the PUA program, which as a gig worker allowed me to collect unemployment, and then the additional $600 a week on top of that allowed me to, it basically replaced what I was making prior to having to stop working. And so that got me through the spring and summer. And then at the end of July, when that program ended, the additional $600, it was really difficult. It was very difficult. I live in Southern California. It's one of the most expensive places in the world to live. And trying to make ends meet on $300 a week was excruciatingly difficult.
Let me ask you this. As you've watched the political back and forth over this latest relief bill, and then you saw the president say part of the reason he delayed signing it was because he wanted to get more money to people like you. What did you think? What was your reaction to that?
Well, quite frankly, it was infuriating. When he finally did sign the COVID relief bill, after the delay, it basically cost the people that are on PUA a week of income, which effectively takes away our $600 stimulus check, because that's roughly about how much we lose, or at least I do. So, you know, I feel like this has been a political football. I feel like we've been pawns in it. And I'm angry. I'm angry that in the richest country in the world, our Congress has done so little to help those that are suffering.
Mr. West, you shared with us earlier, of course, that, you know, you've lost family in recent years. Your 20-year business went under. You've had some tough years, and then you've endured 2020 and all it brought with it. What do you think you need now to get back onto your feet?
It's difficult for me. I've worked hard my whole life. I've never really asked for anything from the government. I've never had to rely on government assistance. But, you know, I didn't choose to lose my job. I didn't choose to have all of this happen. This happened through no fault of my own, and the same thing with millions of other Americans that were caught in the same situation. We didn't choose this. So what I'd like to see happen is I would like to see them increase the amount that they give us in the way of that stimulus payment to the $2,000 that's been discussed. And I would like to see the $300 additional unemployment backdated back to be paid retroactively back to the beginning of August when the previous program ended. That would help. That would help. Otherwise, you know, it's just a matter of trying to dodge the inevitable economic fallout that's coming, the fear of eviction, not being able to pay rent, car payments, all the other expenditures, to have to decide whether you're going to spend your money on food or whether you're going to spend it on rent. This is just a very unfair proposition for us to be faced with.
Mr. West, I know millions of Americans can relate to what you are saying, so I'm very grateful to you for joining us to share your story. That is Michael West of Huntington Beach, California. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It has been a crushing year for restaurants, pizza shops, burger joints, taquerias. I mean, so many places have had to close indoor dining for large stretches of the year, relying on takeout and outdoor patios to stay afloat. But here in California, even outdoor dining isn't an option in some places as coronavirus cases continue to spiral out of control. San Francisco Chronicle food writer Justin Phillips is worried not only about the fate of the restaurant industry, but also about the future of Black-owned restaurants in the Bay Area, places that made him feel just a little more at home there. Justin Phillips, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So you wrote about all of this in the Chronicle, and you start off by describing what it feels like to be inside one of your favorite spots, the Second Half Sports Lounge. Can you just paint a picture for me? Like, what would it be like to step inside that place?
It was almost like stumbling into a house party, like a house party filled with the coolest people. You may not know them, but they would treat you like you were their best friend. You mix that experience with barbecue, with colorful cocktails, with a lot of laughter, with sports played on the TV. When you left, you could feel that experience like in your bones the next day.
Well, you wrote that you feel like the Bay Area can, quote, be an easy place to feel lost in, especially when you're Black and you aren't seeing many Black people. Can you talk about that some more? Like, how did you first feel when you landed in the Bay Area?
You know, I quickly realized, you know, as a Black person that moves out here, you have to put in extra work to be able to build community just because, you know, there aren't many of us here. And I think that was kind of exacerbated with me being in the food world and there being even fewer Black people.
So then how important were these restaurants owned and operated by Black people, how important were they in your life in the Bay Area to help sort of fill that void?
Right. They were significant because if you're a Black person looking to build community with Black people out here, that's where you're going to be able to find them. So it was kind of like gathering places. And you kind of like quickly expand your network because you can meet one person who'll be like, oh, you should meet my friend. You know, he might be a barber, or you should meet my friend. He makes smoothies at his house and sells them in his neighborhood. Yeah. For me, it became my anchor. Like restaurants became the anchor for me out here.
I love that. Well, I am also curious what it was like during the racial justice protests when a lot of these restaurants were still able to continue serving, at least outdoors. Did it feel like that community that you're describing evolved a little?
Yeah. Everyone was talking about trying to support Black-owned businesses. It wasn't just going out to eat. It felt like, you know, like a political act for a lot of white people. But I talked to a lot of business owners who said that their customer base had always been the same for a long time. But once the George Floyd protests started, they started seeing like a lot of diversity. And it wasn't just people swinging by to do takeout orders. Like they would reach out, email the business to see how it was doing, say they live nearby. Those spaces became places where people really connected. It was really unique to see. But after a while, that has started to wane. And that's kind of why I wrote this piece. A lot of these places are worried that pretty soon it's going to be it.
So if some of them don't survive, what is your fear of what would happen to Black culture in the Bay Area well after the pandemic is over?
I just have this feeling that it might be erased a little bit. In the Bay Area, if you already don't see many Black people, and then on top of that, you don't see the places where they hang out, you don't see their culture represented at a Jamaican restaurant or something like that, you start to lose a connection with that community. And I just worry that people won't see Black culture in a region where, you know, they really should be able to see it.
Justin Phillips is a staff writer at the San Francisco Chronicle. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Loretto Hospital on Chicago's West Side is the first place where coronavirus vaccines were administered in that city. And Dr. Nikhila Juvati, the hospital's chief clinical officer, is one of the people who's been giving those shots to her hospital's frontline workers. But at Loretto and at hospitals around the country, not every eligible healthcare worker actually wants the vaccine. Dr. Juvati joins me now to talk about how she's been addressing that. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So there was this recent survey by the Kaiser Family Foundation that showed nearly a third of healthcare workers probably would not or definitely would not get the vaccine. I'm curious, are you seeing that same level of distrust at your own hospital?
Yes, we are, actually. We did a survey right before the vaccine came out in anticipation. It was a general survey, just asked a question basically as to where you work in the hospital and would you or would you not get the vaccine when it is your turn. We came up with 60% said yes, and 40% actually said no.
Well, those numbers are surprising to me because we're talking about healthcare workers who, I guess you would think, would trust the available science. So what do you think is driving this hesitation to get these shots, at least among your own staff?
You know, there's a lot of different factors, but there's some things are reasonable. Let's say that pregnant women or breastfeeding women can say that there's not enough research. But then there's a wider hesitancy that almost is not rooted in the available science, just like you said, especially among our staff, which reflects the wider community. I mean, I've heard Tuskegee more times than I can count in the past month. And, you know, it's a valid concern. And in African-American population, and to some extent in the Latino population, there are reasons for this, meaning there's no transparency between pharmaceutical companies or research companies or the government sometimes on how many people from those communities were actually involved in the research. So they have an issue with that. And then they have also heard the word guinea pig, and because that community was used, unfortunately, as guinea pigs, whether it was Tuskegee, whether it was Henrietta Lacks's cells being used without her permission, that caused them to have this mistrust. So what we want and need to do is figure out how to move forward with that.
Well, I want to ask about how to move forward, because as you say, your hospital staff reflects the broader community that you are in. You are in a neighborhood called Austin, which is majority Black. And this Kaiser survey that I cited, it also showed that a third of Black Americans overall are hesitant to get COVID shots. So if some of your own healthcare workers are hesitant about the vaccine or are skeptical, how do you convince the broader community where you are that they should be getting vaccinated?
So we've had town halls answering questions of every kind, whether it's what is an mRNA vaccine? What is the difference between one and the other? Be honest about the side effects. And I tell them the answers to those questions very honestly and very transparently. One thing I will tell you that has really worked is one-on-one conversations. So it usually goes something like, hey, what are your concerns? And the first thing you have to do is listen to those concerns. Do not dismiss them. And then explain and answer those questions to the best of your ability.
Do you picture at some point, if people remain reluctant, that you're just going to have a bunch of vaccine sitting around unused when these shots become more widely available?
So we've seen that already to a certain extent. We need to have built-in safety nets for that, meaning, okay, we are going to give somebody 100 doses of the vaccine. Let's say only 60 of their workers take it. Who would they partner with that if they don't, their staff don't take it, we give it immediately to those other people? That takes so much logistics and planning that I can't even imagine how massive a task that is. But with the vaccine hesitancy that is going on right now, we are going to end up with wasted doses if we don't do that.
Dr. Nikhila Juvati is the chief clinical officer at Loretto Hospital in Chicago's West Side neighborhood of Austin. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Context of white supremacy. Gusty Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Start the new year off, of course, with craziness. I can't even say tech issues per se. It was just, I had the wrong clip. I normally get all my clips and things together, audio related that to workplace racism that we want to start with. And I had, hopefully, our last goofy office party segment for some time. We had the segment about black businesses, what I think was the white sacrifice, white person talking about being unemployed and all that. And then they had the last segment. They were talking about the workers who were reluctant to get vaccines. And that was the one I wanted to end with. And I was listening. It's like, wait a minute, is that the wrong clip? And all this hooey had to go around. And then I got really obstinate about it because I had lots of other segments from this week that dealt with workplace racism, but I wanted that one specifically because we had just been talking about that. We'd had Cal's listeners who wrote in, dialed in, and talked about getting the vaccine because they had defiant white coworkers, reckless folks in their job area who were not wearing a mask or distancing or whatever it is. So they wanted to try to protect themselves as best we can. So wanted to make sure we got that clip in also. The archive should be fine. Just that was a little, took me a while to get my bearings, but we got it together. January 1, Friday, 2021. So I have been told. New year, same Rona. Neutralizing workplace racism. We will try our best to give counter-racist suggestions to help victims of racism solve problems without creating new problems. If we have anybody, you have suggestions, what to do if you have figured out forms and things to figure out words that can be used if you don't want to take the vaccine. If you've taken the vaccine, it works. Do you think that is the safe, prudent thing to do? Let's hear that as well. If you have other difficulties, I know they've been talking about getting time off and navigating if you're going to be in the workplace. I've seen where they're trying to kind of elbow some people back into coming into the office to get away from that working from home and Zoom and all the rest of it. Whatever it is, if you have figured out how to avoid any mistreatment, you get all your raises, all of your promotions. If you need to work from home, it's there. If you need time off, it's there. They socially distance. You have masks, hand sanitizer, all that good stuff. Share. How did you accomplish that? Let us know, even if it's a few tips. The number is 720-716-7300. The code 564-943. Pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Number again, 720-716-7300. The code 564-943 pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. If you don't want to call, you can use email untiljustice@gmail.com and we can share your commentary or if it's questions, if you have suggestions, We can share it online. If you have concerns, you know, you don't want to be recognized, identified, you can keep it anonymous and just share your commentary that way. UntilJustice@gmail.com. I guess we're on, you can tweet us at UntilJustice, even though I don't really enjoy having to check my Twitter during the live program as much, but at UntilJustice if you want to send something that way as well. Quickly on the segments that we heard, again, I hope we don't have to hear any more commentary about office parties until 2022 or right on the doorstep of 2022. She said 30 minutes, the young lady, non-white female, incidentally, who was talking about organizing her own virtual office party and why they suck, why they're important, being important to see people and all the rest of it. She had my attention at 30 minutes. That is about exactly what I've said all along. 30 minutes. If you have to participate in this virtual party or whatever it is, nothing extra. You're not intoxicated. I don't remember if she gave out any advice about being intoxicated. I guess she was given more from the perspective of throwing the party. But even there, I think it should be included in terms of proper decorum. We are going to deport ourselves. We are having fun, but this is still a workplace gathering, so we are not going to pull any Jeffrey Toobins. Keep your pants zipped, garments above your privates, all the rest of it, that would be included. But 30 minutes, sober, I'm paying attention, and I might even have my screen recording just in case we do have a Toobin or any other foolishness. Whammo, we have a record if folks get out of control, if they are drinking and a little less inhibited. The segment on the employment, or what I thought was a white person, it was audio, no video, but I thought it was a white person, white man, who was talking about the difficulties he's had with the Rona and being upset about, you know, what they've done with unemployment benefits. And other programs to try to help people who've been struggling, who've lost jobs or have had reduced work hours and all the rest. Certainly there's been quite a bit of what Mr. Fuller would call white sacrifice in terms of white people who've lost a business or had a tough time. The fires as well and all that stuff this year. Still within a system of racism, white supremacy, on average, white people collectively, they are still chilling enough to be defiant and making extraordinary home improvements. Lots of reports on that, where white people have sat at home when they're not putting penises on Zoom. Oh, we can go out and clean the gutters, put up some new shutters. Next report, they talked about the other side, not the white man who's struggling, but black businesses, restaurants and the like in the Bay Area, where they have explosive rent. And the Bay Area, I would think it's going to be especially tough, because not only is it very expensive in terms of rent and all the rest of that in California, they have had a really difficult time with the Rona, at least since like June, I believe, where they've had massive shutdowns. And the latest round, I think Rob down in SoCal has talked about that, and some of the other folks who've been in Sacramento and the San Francisco Bay Area, Oakland and all that, where they've had major shutdowns. They even had a curfew, I believe, at one point, because they had police rioting and all that happened, at least in the Sacramento Bay Area, earlier in the year. And then they just had in general all the shutdowns, Governor Newsom, for what they're doing to try to deal with the Rona. So I could see it being very difficult for black businesses in California in general, but in California to try to maintain it. They don't have any types of programs. He talked about they had some of the few tacky white people that came out, I guess, during the middle of the summer, like, oh, we Black Lives Matter, Breonna Taylor's our sister, yum, yum, all that for a few days, and then they back to tight. Haven't seen them since. Uh-oh. Talked about that as well. I think for workplace racism, we've mentioned that for years. You can be an entrepreneur, never spoken against that, but the system of white supremacy is still going to impact you as a business person. Don't think that just because you're so-called self-employed, you don't have to deal with racism anymore. You'll just be dealing with it in a different format. And certainly this well, I'd say the past 12 months or so has been a really tragic illustration of how black businesses can be impacted in a system of white supremacy. And then, like, as I said, did my grappling to find the segment on employees, who healthcare workers, be specific, healthcare workers who did not want to be or do not want to be vaccinated, at least not at this point. I can only say I do not recall hearing the Tuskegee syphilis experiment mentioned so much. I don't even remember it being brought up that much at the beginning of the year, as opposed to how much I've heard it over the last like 3 weeks. It has been astounding. But at any rate, I certainly can understand why anyone would have reservations, some hesitancy about all of this, although I'm kind of the same observation I've had about it being focused on black people. I haven't heard them doing those type of reports where they point out white people specifically are reluctant to get the vaccine and all the rest of it. But I can totally understand. And that's why I said, you know, we have folks on both sides just trying to get as much information as possible so that people can make great decisions. And even here, I've heard some of the folks who've also said that they'd like to wait maybe 6 months or so. Let's see some of the results, make sure everything's on the up and up, and then I'd be more willing to do so. All of that sounds reasonable given the confines of white supremacy. I'll give one email, and I do want to share some of the emails that people wrote in about their vaccine experience as well. Let's see. Right in line with the Rona. So the email again, untiljustice@gmail.com. I will try to make sure I get in all the emails this week where folks wrote in. So first up, black male victim of racism writes, wanted to share, this is a news report about my old job from this past week. Apparently a group of anti-maskers attempted to barge into the store with no mask, of course. They then started protesting outside when police were called. A number of employees in that store have been infected and or lost family members due to COVID-19. Take it seriously. Of course, the news station airs an interview with the non-white male who is against the mask mandate. The store, however, is typically frequented by affluent white sacrifice. I said, you will have some white people who had a tough time, but you have lots of white affluence and white defiance. Affluent white people and celebrities. It's way more expensive than Whole Foods. Most non-white patrons tend to be celebrities. Am I getting this right? So they're at the, like, this is more posh than Whole Foods. They're out cutting a fool about masks at the posh grocery store. Like, wow, they normally have security. Like, I'm thinking a lot of the upper end grocery stores here, they have like security. Like, they wouldn't tolerate that. They would have like really expensive latex gloves to snatch you up out of there and call Seattle's finest to have you on your way. Like, you're going to put a mask on and behave yourself and go around here and get you some pomegranates and whatever else, organic croutons and heirloom tomatoes, and go about your business. Let's see. I'll give one more email on the vaccine, and then we'll shift and get to some of the callers. If we have any folks who you are going to take the vaccine, you're not going to take the vaccine, feel free to share. If you are working in an environment where it looks like you might be required to take the vaccine, definitely share. That's been discussed, like if policy and procedure, or even in an informal way where it's kind of being talked about in the around the office in terms of, you know, are we going to have to do this, or what's the protocol look like if people are working from home? And this is being talked about in terms of what the procedure might be for bringing everybody back into the workplace. Definitely share. One more report on the vaccine. Okay. Non-white female victim. She writes, my sister got the vaccine. She is a doctor in Oklahoma. She is working with the Native American population there. Trail of Tears. She took the Moderna shot. I asked her how she felt. She said she had some soreness in her arm, like when she got her flu shot, but felt no other effects. She asked if I would get the shot, and I said, not now. I am pregnant and plan to breastfeed. Bravo. I will probably get it when I'm done nursing my child. I'm a healthcare worker, so I assume there will be pressure to get, or the pressure to get it will be high. I'll let you know about my sister's updates after she gets the next shot. P.S. Just finished reading Medical Apartheid. Double bravo. I'm reviewing the archives of the cows that covers the book. Thanks again for always recommending this book. Still learning. Absolutely. That's why I say we have other folks. I'm going to try and get those in as well so people can, you know, get more information, at least hear from some victims of racism about what their experience has been, if they've had any side effects, if they, and why the reasoning, because I think that's important too. If this decision was made because of their work environment, did they do this totally voluntarily? Like they weren't pressured. They didn't have to do this for their job or that sort of thing. Like I said, I know we heard some folks who did it because they felt like they worked with lots of reckless people. So they felt like they would rather take their chances with the vaccine. Just all of that, I think, is extremely important to review, process as we all try to make some type of sense so that we can make the best possible decisions moving forward. Incidentally, one more report, one more, or at least for right now, one more I'll read and then we'll get to the folks who dialed in. I was checking the news out of Chicago and they were talking about the school system there. The report from WBEZ, 83% of expected Chicago public school staff to return on Monday after many requests to stay home denied. Not going to read the full report, but I do know we have a good number of educators, young academic and others. But it reads, Chicago Public Schools is anticipating 83% of the expected teachers and staff to walk into schools this Monday to prepare for the return of the first wave of students following the week the school district announced Tuesday. That's more than 5,800 staff out of the 7,000 required to return. About 29% of teachers and staff in this first group required to return applied to work from home or take a leave. Of those where decisions have been made, 42% were granted and 58% were denied, CPS said. All accommodation requests to work from home due to medical conditions were granted, CPS said. Amid outcry from staff that it is not safe to return to schools, Chicago Public Schools officials have insisted that they have put protocols in place and that all staff must report to buildings. The first wave of in-person learning is for preschoolers and students with moderate to severe disabilities in special education cluster programs. CPS officials say they are working with those staff to make them feel more comfortable about returning. For example, some are being offered weekly COVID-19 tests. I will stop there. I don't see anything in this report. I'm sure they have lots more. I'm sure this is not the only report that's been written about all of this, but I don't see anything in this article about vaccines being a part of the protocol, like you know, them being in the upper tier to get a vaccine, or there's going to be a vaccine at some point early in the year or anything. Nothing about that, but just let's roll. We got protocols in place, required to get back in. They did say all the people who had medical reasons for not being there were approved to continue staying at home. But this will be, and the Chicago public school system, lots of black teachers, for people who remember the 2012 strike and some of the other strikes, lots, and particularly lots of black female educators in the Chicago public school system. Pamela Evans Harris, we talked about that before. And then even them using the term wave, it just struck me because they've been saying second wave so much and first wave talking about the Rona. And now we're talking wave number one of students coming in, not the Rona. But and it could be both wave of the Rona and wave of students. But as I said, we do have a number of educators and I could see this happening over the year where they might start forcing folks back in. Like, we got our shot now. We got a role. We can't sit at home forever. Let's get cracking. I could see that. So it will be lots to be mindful about. If folks have thoughts, observations, the number is 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Folks who dialed in, again, hopefully everybody made it safely into the new year. And if you hopefully, in fact, you made it safely into the new year and maybe got a whole week off, didn't just get today off for the so-called new year, but maybe got a whole watermelon day on the plantation where you could stay home for so-called Christmas and all that and just be with attempted family members and eat well and all the rest and then get ready to rock and roll and be ready Monday morning. But folks who dialed in with commentary to share, let's see, first person with a hand up, a line should be open. Proceed.
Hi, Gus.
Be in Toronto. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, greetings to you, callers and listeners. So in terms of the terminology to use or questions to ask to try and get out of the vaccine, because I try to look at ways of how I can stall it as much as and as long as possible. From the last I've heard in Ontario, at least, that they're starting with essential workers who work within the long-term care facilities, which are the retirement homes, mainly because there was a major expose about the retirement homes and how a lot of the elderly were being infected with COVID and dying as a result. And that was just mainly due to poor management and poor practical skills and just poor running of the facilities altogether, of which the upper management were mainly white people. So it's not surprising. It was constructed that way. So some of the terminologies would be, as you've mentioned, with the medical conditions, if you have any allergies to any of the ingredients that are within the vaccine. Also, if there are any other anxieties around it in terms of mental health issues. So if you have any anxieties around being injected with the needle, or any type of instrument being injected into your body, you know, you can cite that to see if you can utilize the fact that your anxiety will be increased and it would cause increased agitation. So that might delay it. A question you can ask is, for the vaccination, is it mandatory? If it's not mandatory, then you can elect to postpone or elect not to take it at all. If it is mandatory, then you can elect for a stress leave, which would hopefully delay the process as well. So those are some of the strategies to consider. In terms of the get-togethers online or over mediums like Zoom and Google Meetups and things of that nature, luckily I've been able to get away from the whole Christmas horror day. There was supposed to be a gathering of all staff to connect by Zoom, but I guess because I was a new staff, somehow my email was missed, and I'm like, thank goodness, I'm not calling anybody to put my email on there, I'll just pretend I'm none the wiser. And then when they ask, I'm like, I didn't get it. Like, I didn't get the email. Oops, you know, go figure. I had other more constructive things to do, but I didn't even have to say anything. So that's perfect. Other than that, one of the things that I would strongly suggest is to, you know, just keep your health at the forefront. As mentioned in the newsreel that we heard, or the news clip that we heard earlier, the capacity within the hospitals are quickly filling up. And doctors and, well, medical practitioners are making decisions and as to who's going to get seen and who's not. It's kind of reminiscent to me of just about any emergency preparedness or disaster that has occurred, that when the medical practitioners start making decisions, it's often Black people who are the ones that are the casualties. So just be certain to keep as healthy as possible. If you have weight that you can lose that you do not need, you know, 40, 20, 40, 50 pounds that you just don't need, eliminate that. If there's a way in which you can, you know, eat more healthy, become more active, just do what you need to do to keep as healthy as possible, because you can't afford it, your health, to be left up to somebody else's decision, especially in the hands of people who do not wish to do anything right by you. They just wish to do harm. So you need to put yourself first. Thank you, and I leave the line.
Much obliged, BN Toronto. Now that will be interesting. I know I had been seeing reports for Canada, and they were saying that the rolling out of the vaccine had been going slow, which I guess has been the same thing for the U.S. too. They said they're way behind what they wanted it to be here also. But yeah, that'll be very interesting to see, I guess, how much pressure they begin to apply to workers, especially folks, as you were saying, long-term care facilities and folks who are working in residential facilities to get this vaccine. What are they going to allow in terms of exceptions and such? Even some of the white people, because there have been so many white people. This is one where I've talked about having a white source too. There's so many white people who've been obstinate. I'm not wearing a mask and all the rest of it. I suspect there are probably going to be a substantial number of white people. They are going to figure out a loophole of some sort in terms of if it's a religious thing, if it's I got an allergy, like B was talking about, some other health, you know, condition or whatever it is. I suspect some of these white people are going to figure out a way. This is what you can do if you really are not going to take it. And that's just that. Like, yeah, we can all pay attention, see if you figure out a source or what have you. But whew, it will be lots to get, especially folks who are parents. B's a mom too. People that are parents. You have a whole household to think of with all of this. Whew. Big time decision. Within all of that, I super appreciate as well what you said about taking care of your health as best you can. There have been so many reports, I guess she's saying Canada and other parts of the world, about triage decisions being made in terms of allocating care and all the rest. So we had Vernelia Randall. I just retweeted one of her social media posts. She said she was talking about this, and she was saying if healthcare providers are overwhelmed, you don't have folks to give out services, Black people, they have a scale, they have a chart in terms of who has the lowest quality of life. And of course, it's Black people. And she said Black males specifically. So all of that with B's reminder, absolutely take care of your health. If you can get some of that weight down in the midst, like we, if you hopefully if you got some time off this week, use it. Hey, I'm going to eat well. I'm going to rest well. I'm going to do some exercise and all that so I can be about my health and well-being moving forward into 2021. Really say that all the time. If you're not concerned about your health and well-being, no one else will be. The people on your job or anywhere else, because that's what white supremacy produces. much obliged, be in Toronto. Let's see. One other report. There were quite a few, all dealing with the Rona type thing. Now, this was in the LA Times yesterday. It's 2021 California workplace laws. This is the type of thing. Now, if I lived in California, I'm going to sit down and read this entire report real slow. If I live in California, work there, like, let me make sure I have as much information as possible. People who say, you know, reading the newspaper is for dummies. Not my view. So the LA Times yesterday, they wrote, sweeping new laws ramping up in 2021 will force California businesses to offer employees more help to cope with the COVID-19 pandemic, including measures on disclosure of workplace infections. We talked about that one a lot. On health care and wage replacement, and on job protected leave to care for sick family members. For state lawmakers, 2020 was a year that started out with lots of aspirational plans, said Ken Jacobs, chair of UC Berkeley Labor Center, but it became a year about saving lives. What with legislators, personal COVID-19 scares, and capital shutdowns, leadership basically asked us to kill any bill that wasn't COVID-related, said Heath Flora, Republican Repon, vice chair of the Assembly's Labor and Employment Committee. Worker advocates and businesses clashed over safety measures to protect against the virus, which has so far infected more than 2.2 million Californians and killed more than 25,000. Neither side got the bulk of what it wanted, and the truncated session forced last-minute compromises. Legislators managed to pass several non-pandemic workplace laws as well, including one allowing more businesses to hire gig workers. And amid a reckoning on social justice, Governor Gavin Newsom signed a first-in-the-nation measure requiring publicly traded companies to diversify their boards with Latino, Black, Asian, and non-heterosexual directors. LGBTQI rules. The state minimum wage is also climbing thanks to pre-existing law that has been taking effect in stages. As of January 1, employers with more than 25 employees must pay at least $14 an hour. I'm skipping down a little bit because they gave specific law changes on COVID-19 safety. As workplace outbreaks of the coronavirus multiplied, so did reports that companies were concealing infections. We've talked about that a lot. California's Division of Occupational Health and Safety, known as Cal OSHA, adopted an emergency set of COVID-19 standards in November. Assembly Bill 685, which takes effect today, toughens rules requiring employers to report cases and penalties governing outbreaks. Under the new law, a business must notify employees within one business day of learning of any potential COVID-19 exposure. Now, wow, that is way better than what I've heard like almost anywhere. We've heard people where they say, this doesn't even say of an infection. This says of a potential exposure. We've had people who've called in all over the country, I think all over the world. No, just I'll stay with the U.S. We've had people who called in from all over the U.S. who've said they came in on like Thursday or something, and Bill or Margaret or whomever, it's like, dang, where have they been? Oh, they're going to be out for about 14 days. Like, are they quarantined? Like, what is going on? And no details. Or they'll come in, right? Somebody will give a rumor like, did you hear? I think Bill might have the Rona, right? They'll be whispering, and then you don't get a confirmation, and then they wait maybe a week or 2 weeks, and then they'll say, oh yeah, we did have one person who apparently tested positive for the Rona, but it's not a big deal. If you want to get tested, make sure that you're safe, but it's no big deal. He's not here, and we're taking all precautions. We have extra hand sanitizer next to the peanuts downstairs, right on. Like, we've had that sort of thing all year long. Not, whoa, within 24 hours of potential exposure, formal notification of everyone. That sounds much better. Let's see, anything else? It must also offer them information on benefits such as workers' compensation and sick leave, on protection against retaliation, and on the company's virus safety measures. Employers must alert local public health agencies within 48 hours of a coronavirus outbreak, defined in most instances as 3 lab-confirmed cases at a single workplace within a 2-week period. Now, that's specific. And the state's Department of Public Health must publish that information detailing the number and frequency of cases and outbreaks by industry on its website. The law also gives Cal OSHA authority to immediately shut down a work site where employees are deemed to be at risk of imminent hazard from the virus without going through a 30-day administrative process. In a letter requesting a veto, the State Chamber of Commerce and a coalition of trade associations said the law subjects employers to vague standards and liability and fails to distinguish between employers who take appropriate steps to keep their workplaces safe and those who fail to do so, given that employees could catch the virus in their communities rather than from their coworkers. The group wrote, publication of outbreak information is a name and shame provision akin to a scarlet letter for customer-facing businesses who have already been hit hard by the COVID-19 mandated shutdowns and are struggling to survive. But Newsom said the law would help California workers stay safe at work and get the support they need if they are exposed to COVID-19. I will stop. It gives other, it goes on to talk about worker compensation, but this is the sort of thing I would be looking for, this type of information, because labor laws change so drastically depending on which jurisdiction, as they say, state you're in. So I would really take a gander, especially it's a new year. They might have changed updates and all that. Really look and see what the rules and regulations are for your area, not just about the vaccine. That, you know, certainly is a big one. Am I going to be required to take this? And you want to try to get as much advance notice as possible on that so that you can plan accordingly, whatever you're going to do. But also all this other information about, you know, reporting and workplace safety. They might even have a number or contact information if you work in an environment where they're not taking it serious. We've had countless numbers of people who said, oh yeah, that's us, you know, nobody taking it serious, high fives all day long. Contact, bam, where you can snitch on these folks. We've been saying that they had information, at least for California, about non-retaliation, and maybe you can do it anonymously, but get all of this information. Exactly what B said, your health and safety, make it a priority. And I think the more legitimate information that you have, that puts you in a position to make much better decisions about your health, and not just you, for we got lots of folks who are parents, attempted parents, and all the rest, for your health and safety and the other folks that you are concerned about. Number again, I'll post this report because I know we got listeners in California. It's 2021 California Workplace Laws, COVID-19 Safety, and More, just from yesterday. The number again is 720-716-7300, decode 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. You'll have to give me a second to shuffle through my emails because we had other Cal's listeners who talked about going ahead and getting the vaccine. So I want to try to share. I think that was why they sent me this information, so I can share with you all, that like adding to your bank of information so you can think more about the vaccine, and hopefully they'll give us updates so they can, you know, let us know if they had any side effects, any problems, you know, they changed their mind, that type of thing, about all of this. And I think all the people that wrote in thus far, I guess as we'll know as I read the emails, all the people that have emailed me thus far, they did get the vaccine voluntarily. It was not a, you know, white supervisor coming in and, you know, twisting their elbow. You're going to, you know, get your shot right now. Venom. None of that. They did it voluntarily because they wanted to. Let's see. Other folks who dialed in with a hand up, if you have commentary to share, line should be open. Proceed.
Can I be heard?
Greetings, retired firefighter in Florida.
Yes, I was just wondering if anyone has brought it up or talked about it. non-white black female physician who died of COVID-19. I think it was this past week. Her name was Susan Moore. Has anybody other than me have came across that article?
I have. I don't know about the other folks. I know we spoke about it on the compensatory call-in this past weekend, although I'm not sure what that has to do with workplace racism. But yes, where she was, apparently she did have
Vaccine. It came across my mind based on, she is a practicing physician, and when she became a quote unquote patient, basically it was some of the very things that we studied in the book that we read on medical apartheid, she actually experienced. And we're talking about a person whose employment was specifically in the field that she actually died from. If that answers your question.
Oh yeah, you absolutely. She was a physician, as I understand it, and died from the vaccine, and it does deal quite a bit with medical apartheid, although I don't want, since she was not in a work capacity, I'm not even aware if she got infected via her job or responsibilities. I don't even know any of that. I'm not really sure the rubric.
Well, I'm kind of like relating it because this what I was kind of related from the standpoint, from the context that we're not only talking about somebody who was a practitioner in the field, a physician itself, an employed physician itself is actually the kind of like almost other than that in nurses, the primary people that's in the professional medical field. And right then and there, because of them, that she being a non-white black person, she experienced and made note of it, of her negative racist experiences before she perished. That's what made such an impact on me as far as to be able to report it. It may not be directly workplace racism. You're right on that. It may not be directly workplace racism, but the hospital is her workplace, so to speak. It may not have been her as being a quote unquote patient, but her workplace is the hospital. So that's basically why I brought it up.
Indeed. Retired firefighter in Florida. I know she was branded intimidating. This is after she was passed away and everything, Dr. Morris. They said because she had made reports that she was being mistreated while she was in the hospital trying to get care, which they obviously failed her. But they responded by saying that she was intimidating the medical professionals who were trying to assist her. So intimidating black people, even in the year of the Rona, remains the scourge of the earth. Uppity Obamas and Michelle Obama and all the rest of them. Al Sharpton giving us a whole lot of lip in the hospital. That's always the problem. Got intimidating, aggressive black people. Even on their deathbed, they're intimidating and aggressive. Let's see.
Other than that, I just tuned in. Is there a question for the day that's on the program? Some sort of question today? Is it?
Our neutralizing workplace racism broadcast, we're dealing with questions, problems in that field, and then talking specifically about the what we were talking about before you got your hand up specifically was just around the vaccines and people wanting to take not wanting to take other protocols in terms of just safety while we're trying to work through all of this and seeing if folks have commentary there. Let's see.
Okay.
One of the other folks who wrote about the vaccine. Again, if we have folks who are doing the vaccine, if you have taken it, definitely let us know. I'm sure we have lots and lots of people who we have questions or would at minimum be very curious about your experience, which vaccine you got, because they have, I think, at least two, and it might be a third one even on the way for approval now. But which one did you take? Was it voluntary? Was it a work consideration, or you just did it, you know, because you wanted to, you felt like it was the correct thing to do to take care of your health and safety, any discomfort, side effects, all that good stuff? Do you have the follow-up? I know for some, you have to come back in, like, I think it's like 30 days or something of that nature. You have to come back and get a second shot or something. I think for some, that second one is supposed to be maybe a little more uncomfortable than the first one, but not, hopefully not too bad. But yeah, give us share lots of details. I'm sure folks would appreciate the hearing, learning more about that, Gus included. So one other person took the vaccine, investor, black male, he wrote in, took the first dose of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine today. I thought I was going to have a lot more time to think about it, but I got a blast email from my employer 12 days ago that as a frontline healthcare worker, I met state determined criteria for being the first to receive the vaccine. That we talked about that too, be up in Toronto as well. It was deemed voluntary, but strongly encouraged, in quotes, to protect myself and coworkers. I then received a daily barrage of texts and emails concerning it. My employer is keeping close tracking of who is getting it. I guess I have to retract. That does seem like there's a little bit of arm twisting about it if you're getting all these email notifications and things. So that's not entirely voluntary. Anyway, number one, I finally decided to take the vaccine for the following reasons. I am literally swimming in cases of COVID-19 between patients and coworkers on a daily basis. The vast majority of my coworkers are white, many of whom have been defiant throughout the pandemic about following up protocols. For example, having weddings with hundreds, plural, of people traveling internationally and generally not taking things as seriously as I thought they should be. Even though I have personally been rigidly adherent to the protocols and in some measure exceeding them, I came to the conclusion that it would just be a matter of time before I became infected. I have a friend, non-white victim, from a frontline worker in my town who did contact it. We do not work in the same place. He was hospitalized, but did not require a ventilator. His kidneys may have been damaged. We talked about that before, long-term implications of this. That's would all have to be thought about when trying to make a decision about what to do. Kidneys were not damaged, not requiring dialysis. He is no longer working. As a side note, my strict adherence to protocols has met with some derision by white coworkers, which does not bother me in the least. I've said it so frequently. Black self-respect. Even if it wasn't related to the Rona, if you were doing anything, because we've had some people, they try to eat correctly on the job, right? If they're going to bring in, oh, it's 2021. We got to celebrate. We got a boatload of Cheetos and Krispy Kreme donuts and chitlins, and we're just going to have a grand old time. But 2021 got a little cognac, and it's just going to be a blast. Woo, get down. I said, well, no, I don't really get down with chitlins too tough, and I don't know why. Oh, my God, you're some kind of wet blanket. You're just going to sit around and eat kale sandwich all day long. Man, come on, get you a Krispy Kreme donut. You got this old limp noodle here. We got this old wet blanket. You just want to sit around and eat junk. I mean, sit around and eat health food. Be old health nut. Not can't even have any fun. Came in, bring you a slice of pizza. See, we get that. They'll fuss at you about that. You say you just want to drink water, and they'll fuss at you about that. You want to try and be healthy. I'm gonna keep my mask. Oh God, you got to have your mask on. The Rona's gonna get. Well, gotta roll. With my mask on and just going about taking it. We're not friends, Christmas party notwithstanding. We're not family. I do not have an expectation that these folks are going to think I'm great and approve of all of my decisions and encourage me to be healthy. I don't have that expectation. So right on. You all do what you're supposed to do. I'm going to keep my mask on and roll. Just make sure they don't wear you down. to where them saying that sort of thing, all right, you I'll take it off. Yeah, I've just been being goofy, trying to be political correct and wash my hands. And let's see. Number two, why he took the vaccine. I have comorbidities, putting me in a high risk category for mortality if I contract the virus. Lots to think about. Number three, my attempted spouse is also in a high risk category and is not currently eligible for the vaccine due to previous severe allergic reaction from a vaccine taken 1 year ago. I think we just talked, or at least B did, talked about that with the allergies, because they were saying that that might be something that you also would have to think about. Maybe you can't take it if you, you know, are going to have severe allergic reactions. Let's see. Lost word number I'm at. No, number four. Receiving the vaccine may offer some passive protection for her, his wife. However, this has not been clearly determined by the experts. Number five, I'm concerned about putting my life in the hands of these coworkers if I should get COVID-19. Dr. Susan Moore. Number six, lastly, I am concerned about how my employer will treat me if I should contract COVID-19. Will I be penalized if I contract it having not taken the vaccine? Excellent question. At this point, quitting my job or finding another one is not an option. Lots to consider. That's another question everybody should be, you know, checking on. Like, what is the procedure? Like, is it, could I be fired if I, you know, contract the virus? Could that happen? Has that happened? Like, that's something I'd be checking on too. Like, anything, you know, is it possible they might have me not working for longer than, you know, the 2-3 week period? Is it possible I could be left off the schedule for months at a time, that type of thing? Like, I've lots of questions just so I can minimize my surprises about all of this. He concludes, he says, these are my personal reasons and is not meant to be an endorsement for others. I still have a lot of questions, don't we all, and I'm not completely comfortable with my decision. The Pfizer vaccine is 2 doses. I will email you about my experience with the second dose, which reportedly is the dose more associated with side effects. Much obliged. That's, you know, that's what I think to do. Just try to learn, talk to as many people as you can, get as much information as you can, and just try to make the best decisions. And it's such a terrible environment because you said, now he's a healthcare worker. I'm around other presumably healthcare workers who are not taking this serious. Like, how does that impact me trying to make decisions when these are people that are supposed to be encouraging us to be responsible and social distance and wear your mask, I guess, get the vaccine too, wear your mask, get the vaccine, all that. And I'm gonna be out, you know, we got 500 people coming in town this weekend, got our, you know, chicken nugget banquet and all the rest of it, daughter's having a wedding. Like, what in the world? Like you said, they're not distancing and being defiant about all this. Are they getting a vaccine? Like, are the same, that's why I said, like, the same people, the same white people who've said fooey to a mask, fooey to social distancing. I was at the grocery store yesterday. It was a white woman. She had her mask on. We all had our mask on. They got mask mandates in Washington State. We were in line, distance. White guy was behind her. He had his mask on. And she says, could you back up? Now, I wasn't paying attention at first. When I looked, I thought they were standing on the marks, you know, it's designated where you're supposed to be at. That's where I thought, but maybe he wasn't there at first. She says, could you back up? And so he gets an attitude. I told you, we had lots of, you know, flippant, all that. She says, what do you mean? Back up. I'm not even next to you. Shut up. Turn around. Not even. And she says, hey, man, I work at a hospital. This is serious. I don't need you being all close to me. Just stand over there. You were standing all up on close on me and over there distance, man. It's all, there's no Rona. So all this is going on. Now, you all have heard me all year. What have I said? No verbal confrontations. Now, I'm not even involved in this. I'm just in line and looking like, oh, my God. I'm thinking I'm just going to get some tofu and wee. Is it going to be a shootout in the lane here over distancing? Like, if that's what it's been, are you telling me this fella who's getting an attitude about just being asked to back up, he's going to go out and get a shot? Really? His wife, his family? Really? with this setting, it is extremely difficult just trying to get ascertain accurate, legit information about what is going on and what can I do to safeguard my health, the health of people that I care about, attempted offspring, all the rest of it, while I'm at work. What can I do? Is taking the shot the best thing to do? Can I stay at home if possible? Get a new job? We even had people. Remember, we had the young lady, she worked in the nursery, and she said that they weren't taking it seriously, weren't following protocols, and they couldn't enforce it. She was working with young children, young white children. Same thing. I don't want to wear a mask. Get away from me. Touch everybody. All that. What do I do? Do I get a new job? Am I in the closet all day trying to teach these children? Get as much information as we can so that we can make great decisions. But wow, it has been really, really difficult. White people right front and center, the root of the problem in making it difficult with all the confusion and nonsense that has spread around the Rona, racism, all things related to this year. Let's see. That was our email. Finished up.
Hi,
that
Jeff.
One. Oh, be in Toronto mentioned a number of times. Yes, ma'am.
Hi. So sorry. I just came across some additional information about what happens to employees. This is in particular for Ontario, Canada, but it may be similar in the States, depending on where you live. What happens to people who choose to refuse the vaccine? So the mayor, Doug Ford, is stating in one of the articles that constitutionally, one has a right to refuse the vaccine because people cannot be forced to take it. However, and I'm just paraphrasing and injecting some of my own terms in there, there has been intimidation being utilized in that if those choose not to have the vaccine, then they can have severe restrictions as to how they will function in their livelihood. So, for instance, in terms of employment, employers will require the employees, upon returning to work, to produce a document confirming that they've taken the vaccine. If the employee chooses not to take the vaccine, then they can be turned away from coming to work to the point of termination. In terms of outside of the workplace, you may be limited to gatherings or have to wear additional protective gear in order to participate in gatherings. In terms of travel restrictions can be implemented as well. So these are just some of the things to consider if one chooses to refuse to get vaccinated. Thanks, and I leave the line.
Wow. I could easily see that coming, widespread. We were talking about this on the Global Sunday Talk, 2 weeks ago. Yeah, 2 weeks ago. We were talking about this. I could easily see this being stateside, global, because they were saying, I think I played that report last week. They were saying that, people want the economy back open. White people want to make their money and have businesses open. People want to be able to go back to the restaurants and get their chicken nuggets and Cheetos sandwiches and all the rest of it. So, to do that, it's going to have to be, everybody getting vaccinated. And if you got all this staunch opposition of white defiance and all the rest of it, it would probably have to be something of that nature. You are going to get that vaccine or you're not going to work here. You're going to get that vaccine or you're not going to get on this flight. That type of thing. And there were reports where they were talking it could absolutely be that. The Super Bowl is coming up. You're going to have vaccine, COVID-19 test, one of the two to get in here. I could easily see it being that type of thing. Especially, people thought they were tired. Imagine if we get to the end of 2021 and it's still locked down and restriction. I could easily see that. Lots to process. lots to think about. Imagine that. Couldn't even be able to get on a plane. Because I saw reports they were saying that. I think they were calling it like the Rona passport. Obviously, I'm changing the word, but it was like a COVID-19 passport. Like, you know, I had my vaccine on such and such date, and, you know, I've already had both of them, got my test, and boop, ready to go. If you don't have that, no traveling for you. Oof, the number again, 720-716-7300, V-code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. I don't know if we have educators. I would think that would be another one. Folks who are teachers, I read the report about Chicago public schools going back and most of the teachers having to come back and all that. I don't know if we have educators who are trying to process, you know, all of this, and are you going to have to get a shot, and what in the world does the protocol look like now for teaching first grade in this era? Like, if, and even if I get a shot, how do I feel about going and teaching, let's say, just 10, a modest number, 10 6-year-olds who maybe they believe there's a Rona, maybe they don't, and trying to get them to socially distance for a full academic year? Like, oof. If we have educators or others, the number is 720-716-7300, V-code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate.
Can I be heard?
Retired firefighter in Florida.
Yes, I was just thinking about this particular profession. Actually, I identify it as the quote-unquote armed services. At the beginning of the COVID-19 in this part of the world, there was an issue that took place on a naval craft. I think it was an aircraft carrier. I'm not sure. But what has anybody heard about any requirements for non-white, well, not non-white, but for people in the armed services? The reason why I'm mentioned is because there are tens of thousands of non-white black people that are in these, on these jobs. I was just wondering if there's some sort of requirements that has came up since the pandemic for those people, on whether or not it's some kind of requirement, especially in some like the Navy, where it's, there's automatically confined spaces that have to be considered. I was just wondering.
It says the Pentagon from December report that troops won't be required to take the coronavirus vaccine. That's from the Pentagon, although that could change. I guess they will have access to it, but it doesn't look like they're going to be required to take the vaccine. Let's see if they have any extra details.
Actually, also participants on your program, there's a few people that I think that were in the armed forces. So I was just wondering if, you know, anybody who's either been there and still have some contact would know about whatever additional requirements are. Yeah.
Let's see. So the Washington Post, I still haven't seen anything where it says that, yes, they're going to be mandatory vaccinations for military personnel. It says the Defense Department expects to administer nearly 44,000 doses of a coronavirus vaccine within 48 hours of approval by scientists advising the U.S. government, directing the initial doses to military healthcare workers and a small set of top defense leaders. So this is not even widespread. Let's see, do they have any more? Eventually, the Pentagon plans to offer a vaccine to all 11 million individuals designated as part of the Defense Department community, including troops, their families, retirees, civilian employees, and some contractors. We will monitor the uptake and make adjustments to our plans going forward as necessary. Officials said that as soon as the Food and Drug Administration issues its emergency use authorization for the vaccine developed by Pfizer and the German company BioNTech, the Pentagon will ensure that the doses are at the initial sites comprising U.S. bases with major medical facilities and three overseas locations in Germany, Japan, and South Korea. So at least for right now, it looks like they have their healthcare workers and select officials and then opening it up to the wider military population. But I didn't see the word mandatory, so it doesn't look like it's going to be something where you have to do this.
Yeah, let alone talking about the Navy, because that, I mean, with the Navy itself, if, you know, you're on something like a ship, that's by nature itself is confined spaces. You know, you're on a ship on the high seas somewhere, you know, especially for the long periods of time that they can stay out there. That incident in itself that took, like I said, that took place early in the COVID-19, that actually was the issue. I think it has something to do with the captain or something, to whereas he supported the lesser personnel, so to speak, and got in some trouble by his from his higher ups, you know, for supporting his subordinates, so to speak. I forgot exactly how it went, but that's my memory of it. But it has some to do with COVID-19, and he brought the ship back, you know, to port or something like that. Yeah. You remember that? You remember that particular incident?
I don't remember the details. I'd probably have to go back to get it to go ahead and spend so much wackiness, okay, you know, over the whole calendar year. Yeah, but I'm sure if I got the details.
Yeah, and not so. I'm not dealing so much with the political or quote unquote patriotic aspect of it. I'm just saying it is something that tens of thousands of non-white black people are employees of, and within that industry, a lot of people learn some constructive skills, so to speak, through in the military. You know, from being in the military.
Wow. Yeah, that is definitely, you know, I think Cal's listeners have a number of folks either are currently or have been in some component of the military. We just had a black female listener who dialed in talking about she had a family member who's looking to join the Air Force, not there yet, but looking to do so, and was looking for tips. I guess I'll give that one out. If we have any folks who have any tips, if you've been in the Air Force serving currently, have any tips for a younger black female who's looking to join, feel free. Obviously, I have no expertise on either component of that. So drop me an email. We can pass it along. Black female headed to the Air Force would like tips and encouragement. But for the military component in general, like, yeah, that would be a whole nother one. In terms of are you required? Because I would think, as you were saying, like for some of those, like you're in close quarters, you might be required. And I don't know if you have the same ability to deny and say, hey, I'm going to abstain. I'm not into taking the vaccine. You might be able to decline. You might not. If you're in the military, that might be one of those that you've waived once you sign up for that tour of duty. Let's see.
Right.
The same thing for folks who are in the prison population. Was that be in Toronto?
Hi, I am so sorry. I just came across some disturbing information regarding vaccines. Is it okay if I continue? I can wait until you finish.
Oh, let's hear it.
Okay, so I was looking up on the Toronto.ca website where they have the public health information regarding the vaccines. So they're explaining as to how the vaccine works, in that It doesn't contain the virus, but the solution within the vaccine provides information to the cells to create antibodies within the body. So then I started looking into, well, what happens when the body makes too many antibodies? What happens to the body is that the blood gets thicker, and then it makes it harder for the blood flow to get to the vital organs within the body. Also, it can cause, so as a result, it can cause liver damage, for example, or heart conditions. The other thing that it can also do is it can cause rare blood cancers as well. And what's also interesting about it is, so when I looked into what would be some solutions for this, the information led me to intravenous blood transfusion is one of the solutions. But what's really interesting is that the blood banks or blood donor clinics are apparently constantly requesting for blood donations. And I remembered many a times, there's like more than once, when I've offered to donate my blood, I was often turned away. So I'm just making the connections and I'm just going, wow, this is definitely by design. Thank you. And I leave the line.
Much obliged. We'll have more of the medical components for the compensatory call-in tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. There'll be quite a few reports dealing with the latest news on the vaccine and the different strains, the new variant that they've been talking about. We'll be chatting about that tomorrow, again, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Much obliged to be in Toronto. If folks have any other commentary, then we have lots of spectators. Could be, hopefully, we had a good number of our live listeners who did not have to work today. Maybe they haven't had to work very much at all for the past week or so, which is spectacular. So folks don't really have any, more recent issues or problems or what have you, because they just haven't been working the past few days. Well, then, bravo. That is awesome. But no spectating. I still would find it a little difficult to believe that with this 2020, there's been so little happening in the workplace, so little to discuss. But if we just have folks spectating and still enjoying the last few remnants from the holiday meal and Kwanzaa Fest and all the rest of it, then we'll hang up for, let's see, we'll give folks like 15 minutes if folks are just spectating and don't have any commentary for workplace racism. If it's just that folks are on holiday and no work to be done, grant, we'll check in and do it next week once the plantation is back up and rolling. We should be here tomorrow. As I said, next week we'll have white guests on the program. We'll talk more about that when we get to next week. Let's see. Double check. The email is untiljustice@gmail.com as well. Folks have any commentary to write in as well related to workplace racism. Let's see. If, incidentally, the people who are with us who are spectating, like, if it really is that you don't have any issues in the workplace every week, like some of those folks, you really should be thinking like, wow, if things really are this peaceful, I must be doing something. Like, I must have at least one or two things down in terms of counter racism to kind of keep my nose out of trouble. I'm not, you know, having to come in here and battle off this and fight off that and cheated me out of money on my check. Like, I don't have to deal with any wage theft issues. Like, hey, at least make some notes, write some things down. What is it that you think you're doing that is allowing you to remain unscathed in the workplace? It might just be that you need to codify. When I say codify, it means writing it down, like thinking about specific details of what you're doing to get out of trouble. If they're trying to come and start something with you and you're able to get out of it, that might be important. But definitely share a few too many spectators for me to not be suspicious. But if things are all good, I hope it stays that way for 2021. And please share. Let us know how you accomplished all that. Let's see. Some of the other folks.
Can I be heard again, Gus?
Retired firefighter.
Yes, sir. I know I'm in South Florida, and it's probably very irrelevant for this part of the world. But most people are involved by nature itself in a climate where the weather has changed, you know, snow and the different changing things that goes along with the seasons and whatnot. And in order to keep your level of being functional and prompt to get to and fro from work, I would figure that it would demand that person keeps an upgrade on their means of transportation to make sure it's adequate, so they can get not only proficiently back and forth to work or whatever work assignments that they were doing when the weather was, you know, in the summer or you know, not, you know, doing a whole bunch of snowing or raining. But also to be just as proficient, you have to stay ahead of that with the maintenance of your transportation. That's very vital because, from my understanding, your employers are not going to offer you any excuse if you're late for this or won't be able to show up for this. You know, because, you know, you didn't make sure that you maintenance your tires, which is very essential into something like snow or sleet, that sort of thing. It's to, you know, to have that, you know, working, you know, in a top level so you wouldn't miss a step as far as when the seasons change as it is in most places, probably other than South Florida. But, yeah, just a thought that I had, you know, while you were looking for something. Thank you.
Practical, important reminder. Absolutely. Folks who stay in places, snow and all of that other inclement weather, even the goofiness, the ice. We don't get too much of that here in Seattle, but the ice on the windshield, you got to go out and defrost and scrape. All that little goofy stuff can be enough to have you end up being late or all that, and generally that'll be the type of thing where it'll be an excuse if not to let you go entirely, like, oh, we just can't have you missing days. I know it snowed that time, it was icy roads, we just gotta have people be punctual, still got work to do, especially this year we got the Ronas, you know, so important. Or if you don't get fired, that'll be sometimes a little tacky excuse that can be given if it's a promotion, a raise, something like that, and it's, they'll say, oh, it was so competitive, just came down, we were looking at a few little things, and just, you were late just a few times. We checked, he had been on time, or she had been on time, last 2-3 years, hadn't missed a day, and we checked in, you had just, you know, 3 or 4 days where you were late. It might have been snowed this time, ice on the road, that sort of thing. So as best you can, try to mitigate all of that. Already have, you know, snow routes in mind, as he said, checking your tires and all the rest of it as best you possibly can. One, to be safe. That, I guess that's priority one, so that you can be safe. You do all your checking your tires, getting that antifreeze in, check your blades so that you can be safe. And then you can also be on time to get into work and get there safely and all the rest of it. Absolutely. But winter, I do not enjoy winter for many reasons. No fan of having to get out and drive. Well, we don't have all that bad weather up here, but I remember it. And yeah, I am no fan of having to get out and tromp and trek through all the snow and save all that. Let's see. Other folks who are with us, if you have commentary to share, if folks are, as I said, still spectating and enjoying the holiday cheer and looniness and I guess whatever else that still goes on with New Year's, they can do so. We'll check, see if other folks have thoughts to share for workplace racism.
Yeah,
May I be heard?
Caller in Florida. Don't know anything about shoveling snow in his part of the world either.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners and callers. I have some observations and reports I'd like to share. The first two are from the post office, because that is a part of the everyday routine that I have. I have to go to the post office. The first was in the morning where actually I saw definitely white defiance. It was a white woman. She was coming from the back door, unmasked, of course. And as I got to the door, walked past her, it had a sign that blatantly says, please wear your mask. So I got in, and one of the Postal Service people, familiar face, he said that many people in there were starting, you know, to show or exhibit symptoms. And he used a metaphor. He said, we're dropping like flies. And he says, you know, as soon as they come in, sneezing and coughing, say, hey, you got to get out of here. You can't stay. So I don't know what their policy is per se, but I guess they're just trying to just be cautious or whatever. My next one is, this pretty much goes into the type of attire and, you know, the clothing, the messages that people have, white people have on their shirts, hats, masks. This one guy was wearing a shirt. I was waiting in line to get a receipt. And the shirt read, if I can remember, stomp. If you stomp on my flag, I'll stomp on your ass. It was a tall white guy, you know. And I just thought, like, man, this guy's really trying to be provocative, in my opinion, that wear stuff like that. Violence, right? So it didn't seem like he was being hostile to the people at the service counter, but his shirt really stood out in big white letters or whatever. The next one was, there was a couple that had a marriage license appointment, and the female in the couple, white couple, was wearing a Trump 2020 mask, you know, MAGA. And I'm like, I didn't really know what is the policy exactly for, is that allowed in? I'm thinking it shouldn't be. But yeah, she was sporting the Trump 2020 mask. And there was I was set to be a witness for a ceremony for another white couple. And we were outside in front of the courthouse. So I was being introduced to the couple, and the white man who greeted me, the way he did it, he did a gesture that reminded me of the Nazi salute. So I said, huh, the way he did that, you know, that reminded me of the Nazi salute. So I wanted to share that. My next one is, the CLIC members definitely have been on their job. I think being instructed by the warden, in my opinion, watching me at my certain route times when I go speak to, you know, the black people around the office, certain ones, right? They're stationed at certain areas. And even one earlier this week was sitting behind a wall. So I came up with a code to say, man, I need to check on these boxes of copy paper. And what do you know? She's sitting back there, like with her feet up on the office chair. And she speaks to me before I speak to her. So I came up with just a basic conversation, like, you know, are you in the drive-thru today? Has it been real busy? you know, waiting for the end of the day, something like that. But as soon as I went back there and checked, she got up and left. All right. So I came back again 30 minutes later, and I go up to their area in the traffic department to see if they have any mail that needs to go out. Now, I could tell she was on Just Networking, of course, because the email window she had up, she was in a hurry to close it out. So she was typing something to somebody else, probably something racist, who knows. But, you know, I just wanted to report how much of a in a hurry she was to close that out. Like, she didn't want me to see that. And my last one is one of the coworkers that I had in the area that I work. It was her last day a couple days ago. And she started talking about this recent video that's been on social media or whatever. Well, actually, the victim brought it up about some white person being hit by a victim because he was practicing racism. So she says, you know, in my opinion, that guy was racist. He was a racist white man. All right. So, you know, I turned my head. I'm like, okay, now if I'm talking about this, because, you know, I do to a degree, but not like the way she was doing it. I don't say racist. She said this was a racist and, you know, the black people listening. All right. And she said that he was using all kind of racial slurs or something like that. And she says the black person. Now, this is interesting. She said the black person attacked the white person. And then she said, well, no, not attacked. She said that he hit him with a can, a twisted tea. If anyone's seen that video. So she modified the term attack and inserted the word hit. See, so white people are very conscious of the terms they're using. So the victim, you know, they was very, you know, quiet and everything. And wasn't saying too much. And she just pulled out a picture saying, hey, look at the picture that we all took. You know, for her party or whatever, we was having a girl party, the same person that was talking about the racism. And I politely refused to be a part of that picture because it just looks like it's a part of what I say they do. It's either they take pictures or have food or sign cards or some other theatrics. And since I started saying that, they hadn't been saying too much in response. But that's all I have to share right now. Thanks for allowing me to speak.
Much obliged, caller in Florida. I did see the video, the racist white man and him being struck by the victim with the can of tea. Incidentally, I think Gusty has been saying all year long to avoid skirmishes. This will probably come up on the compensatory call-in, but the thing I've been saying is since they have video, I'm almost a little bit surprised. Maybe they're waiting. Maybe they're going to let the holiday pass that the victim has not been charged with anything for, as she said, attacking or hitting this racist white man with a beverage. But yeah, I think I have said that many, many times to avoid skirmishes, verbal confrontations, to avoid all of that. This year, you never know. That fella could have been armed or with some people who are armed. Minimum. Lots of cameras. Somebody might decide that you have to answer for attacking. Somebody might say, hey, that white woman did say it. It was attack. And we're going to press charges. That sort of thing happens a lot with black people. That notwithstanding, that sort of incident I would never bring up in a workplace. Like, come on. a white person brings it up, same thing we say all the time, like, this is not the time for me to get up and offer my opinion and what I think. What do you mean, attack? What are you talking about? Twisted tea. You can ask questions, you know, if you want to do that, if you're feeling New Year. Hey, what do you, he attacked him, really? Or she's self-correct. You don't even get an opportunity to get that. She's attacked. Well, she hit him. Yes, he hit him. Hit him with the can of tea. Yes. But no need to interject any comments. No need, really, even if you've read all about it, to even divulge that you're familiar with this incident. It's not related to work. No need to comment. You can just make notes that, oh, okay, she did bring this up voluntarily. White people are not ignorant about racism. Let's see. The MAGA mask, that has come up, and I think we've played reports on that sort of thing before, in terms of, they'll call it like political attire or buttons, that type of thing in a workplace, and a lot of employees do not allow for that sort of thing. Like they were saying, like, you can't have like Black Lives Matter buttons on, or you won't be able to have like a gay pride button, that type of thing, a clear stance. The MAGA maker, all that would qualify too, or Bernie Sanders button, none of that. You couldn't have that on in a workplace. I'm very surprised that that, and at a courthouse, no less. Like, that's supposed to be like, hey, no bias. All are welcome. Come on in. Like, that is, I mean, even if it was Bernie Sanders, anybody, if it was, what was with Obama? Hope. Yeah, that's what, even that, like, hey, wait a minute now. That is not welcome and open to everybody. Like, take that off, put that on in your spare time. Everybody's supposed to welcome here. This is not political. You're not politicking while you're on the job. You are really a clerk for the court. I mean, you're officer of the state, really. Speaking of paraphernalia, now, I have recommended, hey, workplace, prudish, right? We're not trying to be stylish. If you got new suede shoes for Christmas or whatever else, new jewelry, you're looking great. Females, you got new shoes and all that. This is not the environment to show out all the wonderful threads in our closet. Pick another time where you're not on the clock. Going to work? No, and certainly this is not the time to break out my Nat Turner University t-shirts and all of my provocative little sayings that I have on my hats and shirts. And I love Johnny Cochran. Don't squeeze the juice. You say that for your free time. This white fella, he comes in with the stomp on my flag. What was it? And I'll stomp on your face. Like, what? Again, I thought we were at the courthouse. Like, that's not exactly welcoming either. Like, I mean, I guess that's patriotism. They say that it's supposed to be patriotic. So maybe that's supposed to be for all the, what is it, the Colin Kaepernicks and everybody else who doesn't show proper reverence for the old stars and bars, maybe. Let's see. I don't even know what I was kind of horrified with the post office segment, like to say that there's so many people there sniffling and showing, like, what? Like, let me get the heck out of here. Like, oh my God. Like, what is going on? Like, dropping like flies. I don't even know what to say. Like, man, let me get the heck out of here. Like, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I'm going to go sanitize my hands and burn my clothes. Like, what is going on? Like, take it serious. I mean, that's a whole nother contaminated work environment. They might have, remember Irie in Louisiana, she had dialed in and said that on her job, they just took like an institutional view that everybody here has the Rona. You're all contaminated and get out of here. We don't want to be around. Maybe they got the same view at, that's the post office though. I would think like, man, it should, woo. Take your health seriously. Like, it apparently that sort of thing is widespread just reckless. He did. He was even saying that he wasn't saying for the post office, but caller in Florida, he was saying, you know, white defiance, folks going in and no mask on and all the rest of it. Like, that is what, and we are in Florida, to give greater context. Like, this is not exactly a state that has been leading the way in, you know, taking this serious. And the Rona is, I mean, they've been out at the beach and kicking it and all the rest of it. They were trying to have the Republican National Convention. So Mr. DeSantis has not exactly said. And then they had the bill where they had white people who were willfully misleading people about how serious it was. So Florida has not exactly been a bastion of quality response to all of this, unless I've been misinformed and I am thousands of miles away. But that is, I mean, wow, I would not want to go back to the post office if I could help it, like dropping like flies. United States Postal Service. It didn't get any better. The white woman with the unjust networking. Now, we have said, right, for years, neutralizing workplace racism is not your computer. Years, right? Anytime you're on it, assume you could be being monitored. They got Alexa and all the software and malware and stuff where they can follow your keystrokes and pick out all the websites you're on. You're on their server. So, I mean, hey, but that's the way we should be functioning. So I'm never on this machine, their machine, as though I got some autonomy. I'm, you know, putting down encrypted information. That's never the case. If it's something like that, I don't need to write that email here. Now, I don't know what this young lady that you saw, I don't know what she was doing. Maybe she was writing her Christmas list up. Who knows? Maybe she's trying to get straight for 2022. Maybe you're even on the list. Oh, I got him on the list. He doesn't know. He's got a great pair of socks. Maybe that was the case. I tend not to think so. The unjust networking abounds. Racist joke. That seems like a much more likely probability. Racist joke, trying to get somebody fired, rumor and gossip about other people in the work, probably some more shenanigans with the scheduling. All of those seem like much better probabilities than getting my 2022 Christmas list together, organizing my calisthenics so I can lose a few pounds for the new year, be right for the summertime. I don't think so. Unjust networking abounds. Just assume that's all that gossip and just people sitting around and talking. Try not to participate in any of that, because one, a lot of times they're trying to shift it and make it seem like you were the instigator. They were just sitting around listening to you. Two, eventually when you leave, you will be the subject of all the gossip and talking bad and all the red, like, immediately. You might not even have a chance to get out of the room before now shifted and all that coon and all the rest of it. So yeah, stay out of it. And you should already be thinking they're probably talking bad about me, especially if you behave like you have any sense at all, any black self-respect, acting like you don't want to be in the workplace pictures. Oh yeah, they're talking about you. Much obliged, caller in Florida. Wow. Stay away from the post office. Use extra sanitizer if you got to go there. Put on extra gloves. Like, yikes. Let's see. The number 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Let's see. Did other folks commentary they wanted to make sure they get in, or folks still enjoying their holidays, feet propped up, having fun with the family and their gifts or whatever else? Give folks maybe a couple more minutes. They're all spectating for the day. And again, hopefully people had a great maybe week or maybe even more of time where they did not have to be at work, didn't have to be bothered and stressed. You could get lots of rest. That is a crucial component of health that maybe doesn't get emphasized enough, but you cannot be Well, one, you can't be a victim of white supremacy and be healthy. Two, you cannot have quality health if you do not have quality rest. And racism disrupts the rest for so many non-white people. That's one thing. If you don't have to be at work, or if you haven't had to be at work every day for the past few days, get quality rest. I hope people do not take this time to just be awake really late and, you know, binge watching Netflix or goofiness. Take this time to really get good rest. Dr. Kanban emphasizes this regularly, as do other folks who are knowledgeable about health and wellness. Get your rest. You can get up, spend some time with the family, get outside, get some exercise, talk about the vaccine. If you are, you know, around a small number maybe of people that you care about and such, talk about the vaccine, maybe share some views, constructive information on all that, counter racism, white supremacy. But make sure you get in the bed and hopefully without the TV being on, a whole lot of crazy noise and playing on your phone and all the rest of it. But get some rest. You will feel so much better. You'll be so much more alert. Just it does wonders when you get to operate having an adequate amount of rest, as opposed to being sleep deprived and fatigued, trying to move through, especially trying to move through a work day when you're all fatigued. Like, oof, that is the worst. So take the time, really invest in some quality Z's. Again, we should be here tomorrow for the compensatory call-in, 9 Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We will certainly be talking about latest news with the Rona, the T incident. As I said, maybe by tomorrow there might be charges. I hope not, but it would not surprise me if that ends up being what happens. But we'll be here. We'll review what has gone down the last week or so, first weekend of 2021, and then we'll give updates on guests who will be with us the coming week. But that is tomorrow. Other folks, questions, comments, observations they want to make sure they get in?
May I be heard?
Caller in Florida.
Yes, sir. Just really quick, Gus. I've been meaning to point out just one quick thing from the recent newsletter. Definitely racism being practiced. I don't know if I mentioned this, but the two top white people were going around. Like I mentioned, they were taking photographs of black people. And one of the images was the reindeer, I guess, antlers or whatever, on the black male, and said that it was a reindeer sighting under the picture. And on the first page, the main clerk was trying to say, I guess, like our grandparents or whatever, learning how to adapt and overcome. All right. So I'm thinking that was in reply to the racism and the injustices being practiced. So they like to try and word things in that way. Like I said earlier in the year, they like to use terms like worldly stressors and things like that. He actually went into the into the past talking about World War One and the Cold War, and how our grandparents grew up through those time periods. And it's nothing but a humongous metaphor, sound like, and ultimately an act of racism, especially when he's, because, you know, what's being meant when he's saying you have to learn how to adapt and overcome. You know, I just wanted to share that from the recent newsletter that came out at least 2 or 3 weeks ago, and that'll be it. Thank you.
No newsletter pictures, no pictures, period. But yeah, definitely no pics for the newsletter. They have clowned, long history of clowning at the courthouse with the newsletter. I don't know, like, is that like how you adapt and get by? You gotta wear reindeer antlers? Like, I'm not hating, I'm just saying, like, that's getting, like, woo, man, that's that sort of thing, in my opinion, like, deliberately mocking, like, he's talking serious about terrorism, you know, I mean, this is Florida, the lynching of Claude Neal, where they made him eat his own penis, right, where they brag, this is Florida history, the Sunshine State, where they, what is it, at the University of Florida, we got to beg the white students, please, can we stop saying gator, the gator chomp, can we please stop that, we've mutilated a lot of black children and black people, period, Claude Neal, but black children specifically with the whole gator bait thing, can we please stomp the gator chomp? And them to be obstinate about that, like Florida, where all this is, you know, going down, like that's what we're talking about, the metaphor that you say, that's what we're talking about had to be overcome, all that we had to struggle through in World War I. We're what, that's like 1917, 1916. That's when they were still like the for real, not the just with the hands gator chomp. That's when it was, yes, grab that nigger baby and gator chomp, like that's still going on, and bragging about that sort of thing, like that's what we're talking about, like overcoming and you have to make do and that sort of thing, like wearing reindeer antlers. Does not get, that's what Mr. Fuller said, man, those office parties and all, you can put the newsletter right up there with the office party, all of that, it does not get any better than tacky. They could have just had a picture up there. I was going to say Kwanzaa, but that would have been tacky too. They could have just, no reindeer antlers. We want to wish everyone a happy 2021 from one of our dedicated employees. We've had a tough year, worldly stressors, lots that we've overcome, even on a state level, and everything that he said and blah, 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 blah. But we're still standing. We've seen tough times and we're going to make it through. We're wishing you and your. And I said, that would have been, wow, that is, I'm feeling great. That's awesome. No reindeer. He doesn't have to look goofy. He can just, hey, whatever you want to say about perseverance. Everybody could use a word about perseverance right now. We'd all appreciate that. And then in the newsletter, like, oh no, can't be take a black male. We're going to take him serious saying something about something. Oh no, no, no. Let's see. Let's put some big britches on him. We get a clown nose, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Can we get a clown nose on him? Get some antlers on him. Okay. All right. Yes. That's it. Yes. All right. Now we can talk about Santa and all the red. The newsletter's ready. Ready to roll. Pop. Doesn't get any better than tacky. No pictures in the workplace. Said that would not have been like a. That's what I was saying before. Like sometimes you have to just like write things out. Like you just have been doing that, like not taking pictures, but it just has to be like, oh yeah, that's it. I don't do pictures in the workplace. You'll never have me in the newsletter with some. You know, they'll put like a skunk tail on me or something. They're like, oh, there's old Stinky right here working up a thing. Yeah. No pics. I will never be in the newsletter. Thank you kindly.
Not one white person was in. Not one white staff member was pictured. Everyone was black.
We don't. I guess there are no white people that work at the courthouse. I reckon. No, they couldn't find any white people to wish us a happy 2021 and happy holidays and all the rest. Maybe they're all Jehovah Witnesses at the courthouse. Maybe they don't participate. Maybe so they couldn't help. Maybe they all do Kwanzaa. They're Jewish. Maybe they were doing Hanukkah. Maybe I'm trying things like that. can't get all the black people stacked up when it's time for a promotion. It doesn't have a, wow, all the Negroes got promotions. Like, what is going, doesn't have all of the people who got offices on the top floor are the black people. Like, how did that happen? All the people who get stacked in the newsletter with reindeer antlers. Doesn't get any better than tacky. I'd be with the white people too. Like, yeah, I'm with them. I'm Jehovah's Witness. I don't do pictures. Sorry. Thank you. I know it'll be great. I will look for the newsletter when it comes out though. Thank you. No pics for me. I even have been on jobs where white people get an attitude about that. And I remember I was confused about racism. Like, I didn't have a grasp of racism at all. I just wasn't a big, I told y'all, I was no, if I had been my Michael B. Jordan, picture every time. Come on, let's pose up. Get my good side. Come on. I didn't get my Michael B. Jordan looks though. So I've just never been a, you know, picture like, come on, let's get some work done. We didn't come to do a photo shoot. Let's get some work done. But like, hey, what? Come on, Gus, we got to take, let's come on, take a big group picture. Come on. And to get like an attitude, like riled up about it, like, what? You see me every day and don't even speak to me after. I'm like, you don't need a picture of me. Like, come on. No pics in the workplace. I said that. And it fits nicely because I'm not even dressing to come here and be fat, flashy, cute. There should be nothing about my attire that attracts any attention or is worthy of. Ooh, I need to capture this moment. Come on, let's get you in the light here. Let me get a good shot. No, I'm here to do my job. Thank you kindly. I don't need any food. I don't need any pictures. And I do not need to be in the newsletter or any other publication. Man. Let's see. Any other folks comments they need to make sure they get in? Hopefully nobody else had to wear antlers in their workplace or any other decorative costumes. No Santa outfits or reindeer outfits, anything else goofy. Everybody satisfied? Get back to their eggnog. Grant, we will be here tomorrow. Compensatory call in 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We will catch up on what has gone down. I guess first official weekend of 2021. Lots of updates with the Rona situation and racism in general. Lots of police shootings the last week of the year. Surprise there as well. But we will try and catch up there tomorrow. Again, we'll take more time. We'll have white guests coming on the program next week, middle of next week. We'll detail all of that tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, the compensatory call-in. Tune in. I guess if you're hanging out with relatives, I feel like it shouldn't be too much of that, but maybe it's some. So I guess if you're hanging out to some degree with relatives and such, you can tune in, hear a little news, maybe even call in and share. Let us know how your so-called holiday went down, as long as things were safe. Man, I said yesterday they have the sobriety checkpoints and all that, right? I said you can expect that for the whole holiday, probably all the way into Monday, right? We did the program yesterday. I got off the air. I didn't leave the house. I bragged. What have I said all year? Hunker down. No need to be going out unnecessarily. I just was standing on the front porch. It was raining here in Seattle, so I was not, you know, going to go try to see any fireworks, anything like that. No, thank you. I just was standing on the porch briefly. I looked out. There was one enforcement officer. He was driving by very slowly and he had the searchlight on. I stood for just 1 second. There was another officer right behind him going very slowly. And then a third officer. And they were just kind of creeping by. Stopped, turned around. And then they went into a house that was like across the street. But more than enough. I immediately turned around and went right back in the house. Exactly what I said. And I don't even know if this, it didn't look like a sobriety checkpoint, but there will be increased police attention probably until Monday at least. So if you have to go out, that is definitely something I would be thinking about. Make sure you have all your paperwork, you're buckled up, you're sober, everything is in order for you to be out and about so that there are no problems. Again, I'm of the opinion, if you don't have to be out, hunker down. There are probably still an increased number of intoxicated motorists on the road, increased number of race soldiers on the road. It's raining here. I don't know about, you know, other places, but there are lots of reasons I just wouldn't be out. And I don't know where you're going. What is it that you're going to do? It's just no need. Hang in, stay at home, talk, get on Zoom, be like Jeff Toobin, whatever. But there's no reason to be out taking unnecessary risks. I would suspect it is probably going to be similar. Seattle, Miami, California, Chicago, Washington, D.C. Probably increased likelihood of bumping into an enforcement official if you're going to, especially in the evening. All of that to say, sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. We need our brain computer working well, and you just don't want to be out and about and then have to make a life saving, hopefully, decisions where you're not really thinking at your best, a little impaired, not a good look. In addition to being sober, I would encourage hunker down. If you're going out for important things, something that's serious, fine, but be very alert so that you can be aware of what's happening. Whoa, looks like an entourage of enforcement officers appeared out of nowhere. Like, whoa, 10 and 2, I'm buckled, sober. Okay, registration's right here. I already got my protocol for, you know, if I should get stopped and all the rest of it. But, like, be very mindful of what is happening around you. Like I said, with that whole tea situation, no verbal altercations, anything like that. I'm out of here. Like, this fella doing all this might have a firearm. This fella might have four or five people who are with him who have a firearm at minimum. Looks like there might be a camera in the ceiling. I might have to answer to another white person about what happened here in a day, a week, a month. No verbal confrontations. We should be real risk avoidant for the foreseeable future. We're sober, hunkering down if we can, but if you got to go out, very alert. If you're driving, you are buckled. Really, driver or passenger, you're buckled. If you're driving, you are not on the cell phone. Just the small things that we can do to minimize contact with the Mark Furmans, Amber Geigers of the known universe. Just little things, being buckled, not on the cell phone, being sober, is certainly not going to end racism, white supremacy, but just trying to minimize any unnecessary attention. All of that said, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cow signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
Man, I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.